Take your Bibles now, if you will, and I invite you to turn to the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 8 today. We're preaching a number of messages on eschatology, or the end times, what is going to happen out in the future. And believe it or not, Daniel was giving us a lot of that information back in 500 B.C., before these things even happened. So let's look at Daniel chapter 8, and we'll begin reading with verse 1 going through verse 14. The message title is Empires at Sunset. Empires at Sunset. Daniel chapter 8, and follow along. The language is a little bit different from what we would normally be reading, but it's God's Word in all Scripture. Amen. All of it is inspired of God. So in the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, Daniel is speaking, even unto me, Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. And I saw in a vision, and it came to pass when I saw that I was at Shushan in the palace, which is in the province of Elam. And I saw in a vision, and I was by the river of Ulai. Then I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram which had two horns. And the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other. And the higher came up last. I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward, so that no beast might stand to deliver out of his hand. But he did according to his will and became great. And as I was considering, behold, an he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground. And the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing by the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler against him, and smote the ram, and brake his two horns. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground, and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. Therefore the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. And out of one of them, that is one of the four, came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down, and an host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression. And it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? How long? And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Now, I know that there's a lot of language we're not used to in there, but God explains it even in this very same chapter. It is so important for us to realize what Daniel was predicting here. And remember, Daniel was predicting this before it ever happened. And he was telling us that the great kingdoms of the world, which seemed to be invincible, were going to be destroyed and were going to come down. And he leads us all the way to one real important one that we'll talk about as we get to that. But great kingdoms that people have thought would never come down. Saddam Hussein thought he had an empire, a kingdom that would never come down. But we saw it even in our lifetime that it came down. And I'm glad that it did. Idi Amin, the horrible dictator and the one who butchered thousands upon thousands, thought his empire would not come down, but it did. Ceausescu thought his would not come down, but it did. Empires of the world bite the dust. Empires of the world go down. And many of them are evil empires, and those who are the heads of them are not hardly thought of in any positive way whatsoever after they go down and the empires go down. Now, last week we talked about chapter 7, and this was already dealing with the sunset of all of the Gentile powers of the world. And in chapter 7, we were given a promise that there would be a kingdom set up in the future, and that would be a kingdom of righteousness and justice. And I'm so glad we have that promise in the Word of God. Christ ruling over all of the world is going to happen someday. Now, in chapter 8, we focus in a little closer on one main empire particularly. And this all relates to the Jews. And during the time of the age right past when Daniel gave his prophecy, what was going to happen to God's chosen race, the chosen people. And not only does he give us a little view of what would happen to the Jews, but like so many of the prophets, he reaches way out into the future, way, way on out into the future, and reminds us of something great that's going to happen. Now, we know that he was ruling, or Belshazzar was ruling, when Daniel wrote, and he was in the first year as he wrote that, and now he is in the third year of the reign of Belshazzar. Of course, we dealt with the fact that Belshazzar did live, even though some of the critics said that he didn't. That's been proven. So these are real things that really happened in time, in the time past. Now look at where he was. Daniel was appeared to in this vision, and he was at Shushan in the palace, which is in the province of Elam. And he saw this vision by the river Ulai. This was Shushan, the palace. It was the summer capital. It was the capital of the Persian kings. And Ulai was a canal that was man-made, and it connected two of the main rivers in that territory across the top of the Zagros Mountains in Persia. In 1901, the archaeologists discovered the Code of Hammurabi that was there, and many other things that have happened. It's a very important place. And so in this vision, God took him to this important place. And then in verse 3, he lifted up his eyes and he saw something. And behold, there stood before the river a ram which had two horns. And the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other. And the higher came up last. So like a rack that you deer hunters would know about. And you have a symmetrical rack, which might be 6 points on one side and 6 points on the other side. And then you have an asymmetrical rack, which is sort of an oddity, and there would be 6 points maybe on one side and 4 points on the other side. One would be larger than the other. And so this is what he is saying here. There are these points and two horns, and one is larger than the other. Again, you can write in the margin of your Bible, this is the Medo-Persian Empire. And the Medes that seemed to have such power at the beginning, now they are merged into the power of the Persians, the Medo-Persian Empire coming together. And they did not destroy the Median Empire, but they brought it together in its great power. Now, remember that Daniel is seeing these things happen in this place, which is very important. Now in verses 4 through 7, here we have in this verse, verse 3, the Medo-Persian Empire, but in verses 4 through 7, he's talking about another animal that shows up. I saw the ram, here's this ram, pushing westward and northward and southward so that no beast might stand before him. Neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand, but he did according to his will and became great. And as I was considering, that is, he saw what Medo-Persia was going to do, as I was considering, behold, an he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground. He did it swiftly, fastly, like an airplane flying. And the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. Here are the rams with two horns, the Medo-Persian Empire. And now here is symbolized by this goat with one. It was a mean goat and one that was from the west. And this Persian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, was destroyed by this ram. Look at as he continues to describe this. Verse 6, the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing by the river, and he ran unto him in the fury of his power. You've seen that on Discovery Channel where rams are fighting on the mountainside and boy, they hit each other and shake their head and walk away. But here's one ram that comes up, this he-goat comes up against the ram, and I saw him close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler against him, and smote the ram, and brake his two horns, and there was no power in the ram to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground, stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. Here comes this great and mighty power. This is the rise of the Macedonian Empire. And this was the rise of a man by the name of Alexander the Great, the great Greek empire. He was the son of a king of Macedon. By the way, Alexander the Great was a missionary. A lot of you didn't know that, did you? But he was a missionary. But the only thing was, his mission was not the right kind of mission. He was trying to Hellenize or make all of the world a Greek culture. And he thought that, like the social people of today who are trying to do the very same thing, he thought if he could just force upon the rest of the known world in that day the Greek language and the Greek culture, that they would solve all of the problems of the world and they would have utopia. And that's what he went about trying to do. The only problem was he did it by force, and that was the wrong way to do it. He thought he could bring unity by force, like many of the social engineers or I'm afraid trying to do today. But through a series of raids on the Medo-Persians from 334 to 331 B.C., during that time, Daniel saw what was going on and he was describing it. Remember, he was doing this in 500 B.C., seeing what was going to happen later on. Now, that great horn is broken. Look at verse 8. Therefore, the he-goat waxed very great. And when he was strong, this empire, the Macedonian Empire, the great horn was broken. That is, his power and his strength. And for it came up four notable horns, four notable ones, toward the four winds of heaven. What in the world is he talking about there? By now you're feeling like horns, horns, and more horns, and somebody blow a horn or something. But at any rate, it's all important and it's all symbolic. And this great horn, the Macedonian Empire, and Alexander the Great, was broken and crushed. He died at about 33 and a half years of age in a drunken stupor at the Indus River. He thought he was going to be a conqueror, but God brought down his empire, and he did it with great power. Now, out of that empire, Daniel is seeing in the future, came four horns. None of these horns was as powerful as Alexander the Great or any of the kings of Macedon. They were not that powerful. There were four generals, and those four generals, first they started out with five. One didn't last long. Four of them lasted, and they took the territory and divided the territory that was left by Alexander the Great. All of that territory he had conquered, they took that territory and divided it among themselves, these four generals. That's exactly what Daniel saw. That's exactly what Daniel is talking about here when he's talking about the future. Now, either Bible prophecy is a lie or it is true. And here it is true. And Daniel, who wrote it, and he didn't late date it, didn't write it, somebody else didn't write it later and put his name on it. Daniel, by divine inspiration, was seeing what was going to happen. That's why today you and I can believe this book from cover to cover, and every prophecy that it gives us, you can bank on it, it's going to turn out to be exactly as God said it's going to be. And so that all took place. Now you remember, he's talking about here about these four different horns, and for it came up four notable horns, and then verse 9, and out of one of them came forth a little horn. Out of these four divisions came one more little horn. We're about to get through with some of these horns. One more little horn. And that kingdom, after all of this kingdom of the Seleucidae, came into being. He's talking about this power that came, and this person that came, which we'll try to define for you in just a moment. But look at what he's saying in verse 9 going on through. This little horn that came out of those four kingdoms, those four areas, it waxed great, verse 10, even to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Many think that this is reference to God's people, the stars, those he loves, and those that were stamped to the ground, and he's beginning to mistreat them. Yea, he magnified himself, even to the prince of the host. And by him, the daily sacrifice was taken away. That's religious. That's talking about the Jews. That's talking about what he was doing to them. And the place of his sanctuary was cast down. And an host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. He had success. Here's someone that comes up that has great power, and this is the power to persecute the people of God. The Jews were taken into captivity, and the Babylonian Empire, you had the different deportations starting out in 606, and then 596, 586, and then they came back in 536. The northern kingdoms never really went back to the land. Judah, the southern kingdom, did. All of that took place, and here they are back in the land. And here's what's taking place. And they're thinking, oh no, Daniel has told us, and Daniel is thinking, we still have to go through problems. We're still going to have to go through heartache. Even though we've been out for 70 years, we're coming back to the land, and there's still going to be trouble and tribulation for us. Then the question is asked in verse 14. He said unto me, unto 2,300 days. He answers the question. The question is asked, how long is this vision going to be according to what's going to happen? Daniel wants to know, and Gabriel is going to give them information. And he talks about this land. Now, I believe he is describing these 2,300 days, and he's talking about a man by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes. Antiochus Epiphanes was the 13th ruler of the Seleucid Empire around 175-163 B.C. Again, keep in mind, Daniel already knew through prophecy what was happening here. At least God was revealing that. Antiochus Epiphanes was one of the meanest, most hateful, horrible anti-Semites that ever walked on the face of the earth. He was cruel, and he killed thousands upon thousands of Jews, and one of the worst things he did was he took one of the noted high priests and murdered that high priest there in Jerusalem. But guess what? His empire was going to come to an end too. Because the Maccabeans had a revolt, the Jews, led by Judas Maccabeus. And this happened to have been on December the 24th, 165 B.C. It was during that time that they did exactly what he said was going to happen. They cleansed the sanctuary, the temple. That was December the 25th, 165 B.C. Exactly as God said it was going to be. Now, if you'll take that date and back up and go backwards 2,300 days, you will arrive at the very date when that priest was murdered in Jerusalem. And that's when the harassment of the Jewish people began in that day. Now, we have Daniel's prophecy. What has he told us? There would be the Medo-Persian Empire. It would come down. There would be the Grecian Empire. That would come down. Out of that would come four more, and they would come down. And out of that would come a little horn that was so powerful, and that was Antiochus Epiphanes, and he is saying that it was going to come down. It was going to come down. And this Antiochus Epiphanes was an important person who began to harass the Jews. Now, is that all there is to it? Is it just a bit of history? Not at all. Verses 15 through 23. We look at this and see that the story continues as he's talking about it. And it came to pass when I, even I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of the Euli, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. Now watch the language here, because we're showing you something that's important. So he came near where I stood, Daniel saying, tell me a little more about this. And when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the, now watch the words right here, time of the end shall be the vision. He jumps from Antiochus Epiphanes all the way to an end time event. Now as he was speaking with me, verse 18, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground. But he touched me and set me upright. And he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be when. In the last end of the indignation. For at the time appointed, the end shall be. The ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia. The rough goat is the king of Grecia. The great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. And in the what? Latter time. The end time. The last time. The latter time. In the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. Somebody else is going to give this human being superpower. And he shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper in practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. Here's someone that in the end time is going to show up on the scene. Now, he's going to have some solutions. Look at verse 25. And through his policy, also he shall cause craft to prosper. In other words, he'll be very deceptive. He's empowered by Satan. It will prosper in his hand. And he shall magnify himself in his heart. And by peace shall destroy many. By peace or prosperity, he's actually going to use that and then destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes. But I like this. He shall be broken without hand. You see, Antiochus Epiphanes was a type. Just like John the Baptist was a forerunner of Jesus, Antiochus Epiphanes was a type, the mean, cruel man who went into the temple with pigs and put the urine of pigs on the holy altars and the blood of pigs smeared it all around the temple. What a horrible, terrible person he was. That was Antiochus Epiphanes. Daniel saw that he was going to do that. But he reached on further and said, there's coming one worse than him. Who is that? Antichrist. A person who is going to show up on the scene and be very successful for a period of time. He's going to solve the problems. We have a lot of problems today in the world, don't we? Most everybody wants to see them solved. And they go about their business trying to solve it. And this man's going to make a promise. And in the Middle East, he is going to solve that problem that is going on all the time. You know, most of the political problems we're having today goes back to Jerusalem or Israel. and what's going on in the Middle East between those people and those that are the Mohammed, of the Mohammed persuasion, the Muslim faith, and the Arab people. And all of that is taking place. Now he says, I'm going to help out. I'm going to help solve the problems. The rich now are getting richer. That's going to change. The poor are getting poorer. That's going to change. And instantly he's going to have the answers. And because of that, many people are going to follow this person who is going to stand someday and say, I have it all figured out. And he's going to make a treaty, and a 7-year treaty. And he's going to solve the problem of Gaza and the West Bank and all of that stuff and many other problems for a while. But in the middle of that 7-year period of time, he's going to break that treaty. After 3.5 years, he's going to promise peace, and he'll give it, and he'll do it through the power of Satan. But then he is going to unleash his fury on the Jews, and he is going to all but annihilate the Jewish race. That's going to trigger their belief in the Messiah. At least that will have part of what will cause, that will be part of what will cause that. Now, some people today think modern Israel is invincible. And believe me, I love Israel, and I'm going to stand with Israel. Amen. And I believe our country and our government should, so on and so forth. But Israel is not invincible. Oh, you say, but they've won all their wars. Look at the Six-Day War. Look at what happened in 1948, and look at later on what they've done. And the Yom Kippur War, all of those different things that have taken place, look at how successful they've been, and they have been. And they intend to win any war they're going to fight. Do you know they have atomic weapons? Israel has 40 Jericho missiles. And on those 40 Jericho missiles, on the missiles there, each one has 4 atomic warheads. Now that's just a little bitty language to us, but brother, if you knew what 4 atomic warheads could do, some of these military people know that. We cannot imagine. Our mind cannot comprehend what could happen. And they have all of these aimed at Arab capitals. They are right now aimed at them. They are targeted. If they need to fire them off, they will fire them off. And they have one aimed, they said, right at Mecca, just for the fun of it. They have one aim there. They will not go down easily. They are more likely to use atomic weapons, most people think, than any other country on the face of the earth, because they remember Masada, and they say it again and again and again, we will never, never, never have another Masada. They're never going to do that to us again. Never. But their days are numbered too. And their present kingdom is going to come down. If you don't believe it, read Revelation 12. There he talks about times, time and half times. That's at 3.5 years. He talks about 1,260 days. That's that 3.5 years. He talks about the time of Jacob's trouble. That's that 3.5 years. He talks about that last 42 months. That's that 3.5 years, and it's going to be a horrible time. No wonder Daniel got sick. No wonder he couldn't handle it after he saw what was going to happen out there in the future. But let me tell you something. Thank God Antichrist is going to come to an end. I love verse 25 already, but let me read the last part. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes. He's going to try it again. But he shall be broken without hand. It's not going to be humanity that does it. He's going to be broken. Thank God for that. There were 2 famous men years ago riding on a train. One of those men was Robert Ingersoll. Ingersoll was an agnostic and wrote against Christianity. He thought Christians were the scum of the earth. And he wrote many volumes accordingly. On that same train was a man by the name of General Lew Wallace. And General Wallace was a very important and famous general of some of the northern troops back during that particular war. They were discussing and asked the question, what is the most revolting thing to you? What is the thing you consider the most revolting? Ingersoll said, I'll tell you what I believe is worse than even this present war. It is these Christians that are deceiving so many other people. And General Wallace said, I agree, Robert. It's a tragedy that what these Christians do. Then he said, but we cannot seem to communicate with these Christians. They are from the lower echelons of society. They are the uneducated people. They are the poor people. They cannot comprehend the philosophical study that we have done. Ingersoll responded to General Wallace. He said, you know what needs to happen, Lou, is somebody needs to write a popular novel that will expose Christianity. Expose it for the farce that it really is. And Lou, I believe you're the man. And General Wallace said, I think I am too. So he started his research, and the research lasted a little bit over a year. And then in 1880, he published that novel, that book. Some of you would recognize it. The title of it is Ben-Hur, A Tale of the Christ. You see, what happened was, when he began his year-long study to disprove Christ, like so many others, he found Christ. And he got saved, and he wrote this novel. It's the story of Judah Ben-Hur, a nobleman among the Jewish people. He was made a slave, a galley slave, went over on a Roman ship. Then later, he was ultimately made a gladiator fighting in the Roman Colosseum and all of those different things. But eventually, he was set free. But when he was set free, he realized that he was still bound by hatred and by bitterness and by anger. But he discovered Christ when he saw the crucifixion. You've read it, some of you, and you've seen perhaps the movie about it. But eventually, he was set free because he found Christ. Now, that book has never been out of print since 1880. You can still go down to the bookstore right now, most of them, and buy that book. You see, the devil and all of what he was trying to concoct with Ingersoll was to try to destroy the myth of Christianity and all of that. But God had other plans. And God overthrew that nasty attempt to try to destroy what we believe is Christianity. You see, what I'm simply saying is God ruled over that. And I want to tell you today that he's still ruling. Great empires are Satan's purposes many times. And he wants to use them for all of that. And one of these days, he's going to enter into somebody called Antichrist. And Antichrist is going to do wonderful things. But at the end, after he persecutes the Jews, God's going to say that's enough. And he's going to take him under his thumb like a gnat. And thank God he's going to cast him into the deep. And we're going to know what the millennial kingdom is going to be. All of the empires of the world, ladies and gentlemen, someday are going to fall at the feet of the Prince of Princes and the King of Kings. Are you on the right side today? Which empire do you want to be part of? Let's stand, please. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. Our heads are bowed just a moment. If you're here without Christ, you will go through the tribulation. If you don't get saved, you'll be part of that horrible time, no doubt. But I encourage you to understand where we're going. God says, this is where we're going. And you can know that you're going to be part of that empire that is going to be set up by Jesus Christ. You say, how can I know that? By trusting him as your Savior. That's it. You must be born again, ladies and gentlemen. You must be saved. You must come to Christ, or you will not have any part of that kingdom and that kingdom age of Jesus Christ. Thank God he's going to come back, set up his kingdom. Are you ready? Christian, are you ready? You say, well, that's all eschatology, and we know what's going to happen out in the future. What kind of impact is it having on you? To have that knowledge and not let it affect you is worthless. Jesus could come at any moment. You might stand before him very soon. As a believer, are we giving him our best? Are we doing what we ought to do? Are we living right? Do you have sin judged in your life? As a believer, you need to do that. May God help you to come as he leads you. Father, bless. The invitation is yours. May your will be done. Thank you for the blessed old book that tells us about the future empires of the world, even from our standpoint, and that they are going to fail. But Jesus is going to set up his kingdom. I pray lost people would be saved. Saved people would get right. May you give us an awakening that we need in these days. In Christ's name.